Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. We begin with the economy, as has been the case for most mornings these last several weeks. And joining us now is Chrystia Freeland, who's U.S. Managing Editor for the Financial Times. Chrystia, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
With the story about Amex yesterday, American Express, getting into the bank holding company business and thereby being eligible for bailout money from the Federal Treasury, including actually a place at the discount window at the Federal Reserve. It appears that the federal government is suddenly a full-service bank, stretching from complicated commercial paper all the way down to consumer credit cards. Is the federal government the sole owner of the U.S. economy at this point?
Well, the thing is, with Amex, the decision to become a bank holding company, it hasn't actually participated in the program where the federal government took equity stakes in the big banks. That's something a little bit different. But what we have seen is, you know, historically, institutions which weren't retail banks actually didn't want to be bank holding companies because along with the access to increased borrowing from the Federal Reserve, which is so precious to them right now, come much more onerous regulatory requirements. They have to submit to a lot more regulation and greater capital requirements. So in the past, companies like Amex, but also like Goldman Sachs, like Morgan Stanley, they didn't want to be bank holding companies. That was the last thing they wanted. What we're seeing now is everyone essentially running under the skirts of the Federal Reserve. Amex is the latest one to do that. GMAC, which is the financing arm of General Motors, has also applied for it. And there aren't really that many financial institutions left which haven't essentially surrendered and said, you know what, we're going to have to be boring bank holding companies and be more regulated, have greater capital requirements, but also have access to this additional liquidity from the Fed.
Well, let's talk about the boring part for a moment and the regulatory part. Is there any evidence that GMAC, that American Express, that even Goldman Sachs have actually done what is necessary to become a bank holding company, to disclose to the federal government the kinds of information that normally they wouldn't have to, or actually put up the kinds of reserves that they need to guarantee their depositors?
Well, you actually probably wouldn't want them to have to raise their reserves right away. If the Fed were to do that with these new bank holding companies, then you would have an even more intense liquidity crunch in the system. So actually what you want is for that process to be a slower one. But there is a big question now on what some of the actual universal banks have been around for a while are wondering is how much time is the Fed going to give these new bank holding companies, not so much Amex, but companies like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, to increase their capital reserves? Because that's a really key competitive issue for them.
And if they give them too long of a time, this begins to look like a way of getting around Congress, which would have been the other way to do this, basically to extend the regulatory regime to non-bank holding companies. But instead, the Treasury chose to do this because it was a way to do it much, much more quickly.
Sure. And I mean, I think the amount of time, really, you know, the key consideration is the competitive issue. I don't think there is a lot of criticism of the speed with which this bank holding company aspect of, you know, the various financial measures we're seeing has happened because, you know, it's relatively unintrusive. It's making a lending facility that's available to a lot of other competitors available to these other companies. And speed is really important right now. I mean, the other thing that I think is interesting about the bank holding company issue is something that people on Wall Street are calling the water mattress effect, which is when the government, either the Treasury or the Federal Reserve, has moved in to rescue one troubled part of the financial sector, it has often found it has to extend those same measures to everybody else. Otherwise, unintentionally, it changes the competitive landscape, and the previously relatively healthy parts of the financial sector find suddenly all the money is fleeing from them to the rescued area. So that's why I think some of these measures are turning out to be much more complicated than maybe was initially envisaged.
And listen to those bankers from the 70s getting seasick on their waterbeds with their metaphors about, you push down one side and it pops up the other side. Dora?
Quick question for you, Christia, just to expand on that last thought. If speed is important, what are the foreseen unintended consequences of changing this financial landscape so quickly?
Well, I don't think we know, and I think that's something that is, probably one of the biggest issues that President-elect Obama and his new Secretary of the Treasury will face. We really are in uncharted waters right now.
Uncharted waterbeds, actually.
Uncharted waterbeds.
Yes,
there you go.
There you
a
go.
Lot of water metaphors this morning.
Right.
But we are in this situation where the U.S. government has taken equity stakes in 9 of the biggest banks already, where we have unprecedented lending from the Federal Reserve, where we have this plan to buy up toxic assets. It's not really entirely clear how that's going to work. And what I think is really important also is this is happening internationally as well. Because
and much,
all of these
much,
banks are international players.
Much, much more to come. And we had a story yesterday that the Fed has already been lending to banks overseas, and we don't even know where that money is. Christia Freeland, thanks so much for joining us right at the top of the show, U.S. Managing Editor for the Financial Times. Thanks so much.
Great pleasure.